Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Risen Life. Appreciate you all being here. This is a day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. So let's open with prayer, and then I'll give you the word that God has given us today. Father, we thank you for your bountiful blessings, for waking us up this morning, for keeping us yet another week, for strength and health and mental stability. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that your Holy Spirit gives us all we need for life and for this life, Lord. We thank you that, God, you empower us to be all that we're called to be, that you strengthen us, you keep us, you always go with us and before us, and that you always protect us, Lord. We pray for those, Lord, that have lost loved ones this week. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you bless them, keep them, comfort their hearts with your love. And with the Almighty God that you are, give them peace, Lord Jesus. We pray your blessings upon those that are here, Lord, those that are coming. Lord, give them safe journey. We thank you, Lord, that you gave us the ability to be in the house of God with the people of God once again. I surrender myself as a vessel of God. Let my words and thoughts be yours, Lord. Nothing of me remain, but only what you have given me to say, Father. Holy Spirit, we invite you into this place. Have your way in each and every facet of this service today, that it be to glory and edify you, Lord. And the man of God who's bringing the word to later on today, Lord, bless him. Give him a special anointing, Lord. Bless the hearers of the word, Lord. Let our hearts be enlarged. Let your seed take root, your word. Let it grow and prosper, and empowering us to be the army of God we're called to be, Lord. Let us always be a light in this world for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So this past Wednesday, if you heard the service that we did online, I want you to know that we talked about Peter in the end. And you know, I love Peter. If you want to go ahead and turn to 2 Peter 2, I really enjoy reading about Peter. You know, Peter, when you read about Peter, they usually say he's a colorful character. We got any other colorful characters out there today? I'll be the first one to admit it. I am a colorful character. Peter was one that relied upon his own strength in many ways. And that was evident when they come to get Jesus, that he pulled out a sword. Now, where Peter got a sword, I don't know. Because I don't remember them having one. But he found one. And he cut off the ear of the servant. One of the servants that had come. In protection of his Savior. Which is what most of us would do in the natural. We would think that we could take care of what is a spiritual issue. Like Peter soon felt that his strength wasn't enough. That he had to have a little something else. And Jesus, of course, had warned him about it, but we're gonna talk about that in a minute. 2 Peter, chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. I'll eventually read that. I want to give you some backdrop. Peter was martyred for the cause. He gave up his life in somewhere between 64 and 68 A.D. He was crucified upside down. At his own request, he didn't want to be crucified the same way Christ was. The Roman Emperor Nero crucified him. He was one of the leaders of the disciples of the bringing the gospel into the world. And I love when he starts this out in verse 1. He says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. And I want to just stop and reflect on that just real quick, because this speaks to us as the children of God, and many of us can identify to it as well. He used his full name. He used Simon, which is what his birth name was, or we like to call it your government name. But it says Simon means fragile. It means reed, actually, R-E-E-D. That's a plant. It's a fragile plant. It's one that blows and moves at the will of the wind. It doesn't have its own ability to stand up against anything. But he also threw Peter in there. And Peter means, was the name that God, Christ gave him. It means a rock, or actually it means a piece of a rock. It's just a small piece, but that transformation just on its own gives you a lot of insight into what kind of person Peter was. He come from this to this, and that is the way it happens in our lives as well. I know many of us don't view ourselves as something solid as a rock, but God does. Jesus changed him from the reed to a piece of rock. This speaks of his transformation. He has a redemption, and that should speak to our own transformation as well. Today, I want to teach us about becoming a piece of the rock and how we too can never stumble. That is the title for this lesson today, Never Stumble. Peter is a fitting example of humanity. As with us, Peter experienced a fall. He denied Jesus, all of which was no surprise to Jesus, actually. Jesus told him about it before it happened. And Jesus even prayed for Peter. And I'm just going to read that. You don't have to turn to it, but you can note it down, Luke 22 and 31. And the Lord says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has a desire to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee. Isn't it comforting to know that we have an intercessor that still to this day sits at the right hand of the throne and intercedes for us? That's biblical. That thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brothers. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. Now, that sounds like us talking smack, right? We think we all that in a bag of chips, right? We got it all together. And we don't realize how much we need him. Peter soon found out. And Jesus said to him, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou, that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Luke 22:31-34. Anybody had that colorful experience? Got in there with your friends? And all of a sudden, you're not acting so Christian-like. We think we're strong in our own selves, but we are not. I want to point out, though, something very important in that scripture. It says, notice, Jesus did not say he prayed for Peter to be strengthened. He didn't pray for Peter to be able to, since he knew what was going to happen, to be able to deny it, to be able to change it. He simply prayed for his faith. What was his faith? His faith in Jesus. His faith in all that Jesus had taught him and all that Peter had seen in the years that he had been with Jesus. All the miracles. All the demons being cast out. All the blind eyes being healed. All the deaf being able to hear. All the leprosy being healed. Even the dead being raised. Peter had seen so many great things. And he's praying for Peter's faith. He came to shake Peter violently. He came to break him apart. You know, that's what the sifting of the wheat did. First, they would beat it so they would crack open out of the hull, and then they would put it down into the sift, and then they would sift it. Sometimes they would throw it up in the wind so that it would break apart anything, dirt, the chaff, anything that was left. This was what Peter was going through. And it sound like anything you've been through? God doesn't expect you to stand in your own strength at those times. He expects you to stand in your faith. In your faith. John 10:10 is a very well-known verse that we quote. It tells you exactly the enemy's intent. The enemy comes just to kill, to steal, and destroy. So all these things that you thought were pleasing to yourself, to your flesh, to your mind, like sense to you, if God didn't bring it to you, it has an intention. It has a devious intention. And we know, according to the word, sin, all sin leads to death. The wages of sin are death, the Bible says. So let's read 1 Peter 1, 3 and 7. I want to read the first verse, though, because I passed the first two verses. It says, Simon Peter, servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith, notice precious faith, with us through the righteousness of God, now it's not through yourself, and our Savior, Jesus Christ, identified who he is, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Knowledge is very important. Verse number 3. According as his divine power hath given life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fail. For an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Jesus Christ. Now, that's the King James Version. The New King James Version calls that if you're more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. Isn't it wonderful to have such great experiences, people's lives written out into this book, that we can learn from it? You may not find every situation in your life in there, but I guarantee you, you'll find a principle that applies to every situation in your life. Knowledge is power, as the world used to say. Knowledge. Let's kind of break those scriptures down. I want to first pull out that it says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord or Savior. Knowledge. Knowledge is so important. This is why the enemy doesn't allow you or fights so diligently for you to be here when there's word being taught. This is why he doesn't want you to have a study life of learning from the Bible. This is why he doesn't want people in your life that will pour scripture and truth into your life. He fights so hard. He makes everything else so much better. I don't have enough time. I've got to clean the house. I've got to wash the dishes. I've got to take care of the kids. I've got my job 8 hours a day. And then I just want to sit back and do what I want to do. You know, that doesn't work all the time. Sometimes what I want to do gets me into a lot of trouble. And sometimes not doing what he knows I need, like studying the word and being into the word, keeps me weak and powerless against my enemy and definitely against my own flesh. Knowledge. I want to point out to you in these scriptures, his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. His divine power. It is not yours. So, Peter, put your swords away. When the enemy comes, you pick up the only sword you're going to need, and you use it. Don't go like Peter and cut off people's ears. You know, I was listening to J.D. Vance talk on, I don't know what he was doing, and he said when his grandmother passed away, when they found like at least 15 handguns in different places of the area of the house, because no matter where she was in the house, she wanted to be able to defend her family. That's the kind of family I grew up with. Ain't nothing to find a gun slipped down in the cushion somewhere where I grew up, because grandma sat there a lot, and just in case she got surprised by somebody coming and she was in that other room and not in the other room where the other gun is, she had a weapon. Can you not be that prepared for the enemy? I mean, think about it in the spiritual sense. I grew up in homes where there was a Bible in almost every room. Even the bathroom, we had one. And they were used. You can tell they were used, yes. We had the family Bible that sat on the coffee table in the TV room. And it had all the records of everything. And it was, as a young girl, I remember going through it and like reading the names. And some I knew and some I didn't know. And different events, you know, when the children were born, when they were baptized, when they were saved, when they were baptized in holy, the water baptism, things of that nature. How many weapons do you have in your home? And how well do you know your weapon? I was a young girl when Papa thought it was great to take me out and give me a 45 and tell me, it might kick a little. I was 8. It kicked a whole lot. That's lucky nobody else got killed. He's like, brace yourself. I'm like, okay. I mean, come on. In your spiritual life, are you that defenseless? I mean, really. Enemy, I've read John 10 and 10 to you. He's coming to kill, steal, and destroy. He has nothing else on his mind but to take you out and everybody else he can with you. But His divine power gives us everything we need. Everything pertains to life and godliness. And it says, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Through the knowledge. Through the knowledge. This is why the enemy don't want you here on Wednesday nights. This is why he don't want you come Sunday mornings to listen to a crazy woman talk about her family. Southeastern Kentucky family with I'm crazy like a fox, but for the Lord, thank you. I could be crazy about other things, and I have been, I'm sure. Don't talk to my husband about that. He'll tell you lots of stories. But look, he called us by glory and virtue, not our own, by his own. He is the perfect example of everything that we need. And then it goes on to say, by which we have been given us exceedingly great, just not a minimum amount, exceedingly great promises, precious promises, they call them, that through these we may be partakers of the divine nature. Are you a partaker of the divine nature? I find most Christians stop short of that right there. They don't want to be part of the divine nature unless they're sitting in this church or a church around certain people. And then when you catch them out in other places, they have someone else's nature. It's not their own. Not their own. You know, the enemy has children too. That's all I'm going to say. I'll leave that one for another day. But it also says we've escaped the corruption of the world that is through lust. But Peter is writing this. This is his second book. He is about to die, and he knows it. This is his last letter. So he, in his first two letters, if you want to study it, study the first two letters of Peter. He's a colorful character. He had a lot. He went through a lot. A lot. Has any of us ever gone through a lot? I've gone through a lot. Mine may not always look like Peter, but it's similar to Peter's. And he will encourage you in so many things. He was penning out his last words to the church. He talks to them about he's wanting them to grow. Knowledge. This is how you grow, is by your knowledge. And then he talks about false teachers. He talks about the end of times. I mean, Peter is trying to get it all in. He knows his time is over. He knows it's coming short. So he's given you some great things, but I've just got a few more, about 10 more minutes, and I want to go over what else God gave me. But I want you to notice he asks us to diligently add. We can't add anything to salvation. We can't add anything to what Christ did for us. But we can choose to add to our faith these things. This is your free will. This is your choice. He says, add virtue. The word diligent there means, and I thought it was interesting, speed, forward earnestness. It's a forwardness. Haste, it's a business. I'm about my business. I'm being diligent about adding these things to my life. Virtue is defined as valor or excellency, moral excellency. But what does valor mean? It's strength of mind and spirit that enables you to encounter danger with firmness and personal bravery. That's a person that doesn't stand down when the enemy shows up and he's causing all chaos in their life. They're like, well, you know what the word says? No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. And he is working all things out to my good. That is the way you stand in virtue. That's bravery. That is having faith in God and not in yourself. I'm type A. I like to work everything out for me, myself, and everybody around me. I like to make sure everybody's taken care of. But with God, in certain situations, I'm learning to pull my hands away because my own strength, like Peter, ain't going to save me. It's going to have to be God. And then he says, add knowledge. We know that as the act of knowing. You can't get very far in school if you don't understand what is being taught to you and learn it. He says to add self-control. It's moderation. Restraint in your actions, desires, and habits. Oh, that sounds so good on paper, but that is so hard to do in life, isn't it? Because, you know, I enjoy doing these things that aren't Christ-like sometimes. But we've got to have self-control. He didn't leave us without the ability to do these things. Perseverance or patience, which is cheerful and hopeful waiting. And this one's the hard one. Endurance, consistency. I don't like that. I'm just not going to lie to you about it. Waiting is a virtue, definitely. And I'm still working on that one. And probably until the day I die, I'll be working on that one. But I'm learning to wait. I'm learning to wait on God. In his timing, not my own. He says to add godliness, which is holiness, which is living a life that reflects God's glory, his moral purity, being separate from sin. He says to add brotherly kindness. And I looked this up. It's a fraternity affection. You know what a fraternity is. You know, we know the college fraternities. It's a love of the brethren. It's a special bond which brings people together in kindness and care. It's a fraternity. Oh, yeah, there goes one of those Grove Temple girls. I can tell. And the last thing he says is to add love or charity in some versions, which is setting the needs of others before you. Marriages don't work without that, do they? Self-centered, selfish, usually doesn't last very long. Same thing in that. Notice we must add all these. These are choices, but we must be about the business to get knowledge. because we have to be godly and choose godliness in all these areas. I've got to choose to be godly in every situation of my life, every decision, every action, every reaction. I've got to choose to be godly. That's what sets us apart. And Peter was, with his last breath, writing this, telling the church, choose knowledge. James 1:14-15 says, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when the desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do you know anything about your own desires? You know, Kevin's desires aren't going to be my desires. They might be similar, but they're not the same. Pastor's desires may not be my desires. We're talking about the worldly desires. But we all have them. Just because you fail in one area, I can't stand back and make any fun of you, because trust me, I have my own areas where I stumble, that I can stumble and fall. Flesh against the spirit is where we are. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Galatians 5:17. There is a constant struggle within you every day when you get up. The flesh wants to do it this way, and the spirit's trying to guide you into a different direction. You have a choice to make. Are you going to choose virtue? Are you going to choose knowledge? Are you going to choose self-control? Are you going to choose perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love? He didn't leave us without an example. You know, God is the perfect example. Jeremiah 29:11, we quote that a lot. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you a future and a hope. Do you live your life knowing that that's the way he feels about you? And that's the way you should feel about someone else? You should strive to be peaceful. You should strive to make sure someone has hope. And in your best interest, give a future by giving them the word of God. The Spirit, God's Spirit who lives within us, equipped us with many things. It's a fruit. We've got to culture it. We've got to allow it to grow and mature. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. What's missing out of that list from the other list? Knowledge. It's your choice. Knowledge. Knowledge is a weapon. Remember, 2 Peter said, 1:3-4, Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. It is so important that you equip yourself. And of course, the verses that we read, his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his glory and virtue, by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. Knowledge of God leads to a renewed mind. Remember Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That is your choice. It's your choice. Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. He said that's just the reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mouth, your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If we allow the renewing of our mind, our transformation becomes evident in our actions, first of all, in our thinking, our choices, and our actions. It's not difficult to do when you know that you are empowered to do it. But you have a choice. Are you going to get the knowledge to do the job? Are you going to make the choice, if you have the knowledge, to use it? It is your choice. Father, we thank you for the words today. We thank you for your wisdom and your understanding, and you're encouraging in us, Lord, to be not only the people of God on the outside, but make sure the inside coincides so that we always look like a child of God. We thank you that you didn't leave us helpless, Lord, that you gave us everything that we need to do what you called us to do. Now, Lord, I pray for the desire to know you becomes evident in our lives. It overpowers us and takes us, Lord, for without it, we cannot stand against the enemy. Help us, Lord Jesus, that our hearts be turned to you. In Jesus' name, amen.